This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. I'm your new host, and I am so excited to join you in exploring the issues that are most important to our community. So let's get started. We're going to begin today's show in Washington, where the House is voting on whether to hold Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn in civil contempt for not complying with subpoenas related to the Mueller report. WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins joins us now from Washington to talk more about this. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. Good to talk to you.
Thanks. You too. Kimberly, we're talking today about civil contempt. Now, at one point, the House Judiciary Committee was pursuing criminal contempt. Can you explain the difference?
Yes. Yeah, so the vote today that we're talking about in the House is for a civil contempt resolution against Barr and McGahn because they have not complied with subpoena requests for documents and to appear before the House. That's different from what was involved in this negotiation with the Justice Department, which has caused House Democrats to hold off on what is a criminal contempt charge. In that case, it would be just like, you know, any other criminal request, it would be asking the Justice Department essentially to open up a criminal prosecution into Attorney General William Barr. Now, of course, William Barr is the head of the DOJ, so we know what the answer to that would be.
Right.
But it would be quite an acceleration in these proceedings to do that. But still, obviously, that would be a dead end. Mm-hmm. In this case, what the House would be seeking a court order to force compliance with these subpoenas, with these requests from the House, and to have a civil court, declare McGahn and Barr in contempt of court as opposed to contempt of Congress. So it's different. It's not as serious in one way because it's civil, but in the other way, it's something that they can actually do.
Now, other than forcing compliance, are there other consequences of being found in civil contempt for McGahn or Barr?
Well, it would mean that they would have to comply. They would have to come before Congress. They would have to give up these documents. They would lose this ability just to say no, as they've largely been doing. So that's the biggest thing. But it would take some time. We know courts move slowly. So it's not as if, you know, they would be appearing this week. Mm-hmm. It would, if anything, prolong this process that House Democrats have been underway as an increasing number of House Democrats want to push forward with at least opening impeachment process. You have the leaders that are saying, hey, let the process go through. If anything, it would actually slow down the process, but at least it would be compelling their cooperation.
Now, Kimberly, this vote on civil contempt is kind of part of the Democrats' continued effort to seek transparency around the Mueller report. House Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler spoke yesterday about the validity of these efforts.
This is not a bogus investigation of a false allegation, but a very necessary investigation of a threat to our country and our liberty. And this committee and this Congress have an absolute obligation to the American people to investigate this.
Kimberly, are Democrats unified in their effort here?
Democrats are unified in that all of them want something to happen.
Yeah.
But some of them want this sort of slow, methodical process that doesn't necessarily lead to impeachment, and others want the process to move a lot faster, and they want impeachment. Upwards now of 60 Democrats are now calling for impeachment. That's a big escalation, a big increase from just a couple of weeks ago. And that's where the momentum is. More and more Democrats are calling for at least the opening of impeachment proceedings, if not outright impeachment. You have Speaker Pelosi and other leaders who are trying to keep the caucus unified and say, hey, we're moving forward and doing enough to keep everyone satisfied. But it's if more people begin calling for impeachment, it would be hard to see how the way the process is playing out now will placate them.
OK, so I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that the Republicans may feel differently. So what are they saying right now?
The majority of Republicans do feel differently. They are largely behind the White House and say that this is just a Democratic effort to try to push impeachment, even if the Mueller report didn't give them the smoking gun that Democrats had hoped. Of course, there is one exception to that, and that is Michigan's Justin Amash, who has been the only Republican calling for impeachment. Of course, that effort has put him at odds with other Republicans to the point that he, one of the founders of the Freedom Caucus actually is leaving the Freedom Caucus over that rift.
Which is remarkable.
It is remarkable. I mean, look, this is somebody who is not a rhino. You know, this isn't a moderate Republican. This is a very, very conservative Republican from a really important state who is standing up and saying, you know, I believe in these conservative principles, but I also believe that the president committed impeachable offenses. And at this point, on his side of the aisle, he's standing alone.
Now, I want to get to Trump and Biden, but just quickly before we do that, what happens from here on this question?
Well, we will see more people, more committees, more Democrats push for more contempt hearings tomorrow. There will be a vote in the Oversight Committee for another criminal impeachment referral. We'll see what happens with that. But you will see Democrats continually, methodically push forward.
Okay, so let's shift some gears. It's been a bit of a thumping day on the 2020 campaign trail. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden wasted no time taking jabs at each other as they both appeared. They were in Iowa today. Biden started early by releasing excerpts of his remarks to voters on Trump. In those remarks, he described the president, Kimberly, as an existential threat to America, and he didn't stop there. While speaking to voters in Iowa, he doubled down.
He's genuinely a threat to our core values. And he's a threat to our standing in the world. 4 years of Donald Trump will be viewed as an aberration in American history. 8 years will fundamentally change who we are as a nation and how we're viewed around the world.
So then Trump dug in as he prepared to leave Washington, noting that of all the Democratic candidates, he'd actually rather run against Biden.
I think Joe is the weakest up here. The other ones have much more energy. I don't agree with their policies. But I think Joe is a man who was, I call him 1% Joe, because until Obama came along, he didn't do very well.
So Trump is clearly calling Biden weak. But how much of a threat actually is Biden to the president, Kimberly?
Well, you can tell by just how much he's focused on him. He's talking about him a lot. He's already throwing jabs at him. He called him a dummy today in terms of his policies on China. Clearly, he sees Joe Biden as the biggest threat of this lot so far, and that is why he's already targeting him. Joe Biden understands that. I think that's why his campaign released those excerpts and did this speech today in Iowa, rather than joining, you know, all the candidates who were in Iowa this past weekend. He's there alone today. He's, you know, demanding that headline that says Trump versus Biden. He's sort of setting up what he thinks the general election should be. And the president is falling right in line and in a way taking that bait.
Yeah. Now, quickly, there's a sticking point for both of them in this conversation about tariffs between the U.S. and China. Can you just highlight a couple of quick key differences between the two candidates for us?
Yes. Well, the president believes that tariffs is the answer to everything from economic policy to immigration. And Joe Biden believes very differently. He is really hammering home this point, saying that he believes tariffs will hurt folks like the farmers in Iowa, where he is, and that it will end up costing American workers, American farmers. Of course, President Trump disagrees.
Okay. Let's just shift gears one more time. The House Judiciary Committee today is holding inaugural hearings on antitrust violations by big tech. What's the focus of the hearings?
Yeah, so essentially the focus of these hearings are media companies who are really pushing Congress to give media, newspapers and other media, traditional media outlets, an exemption to antitrust laws that really help them negotiate better revenue sharing deals with outlets like Google and Facebook. But what this really is this plays into this bigger narrative about big tech companies and whether and how Congress should increase regulation and oversight side of them.
Yeah.
I mean, recall that social media companies are at the core of everything from Russian election interference to online bullying. And so this role in the way they spread information and the impact of that on things like news organizations and their ability to survive and turn a profit is really at the core of all of this.
So looming in that big picture that you referred to is a spat between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. He's been trying to reach out to her in the weeks since Facebook refused to remove a viral doctored video of her that made her look either intoxicated or sick. She's not calling him back. How does this add to the divide between Congress and big tech?
Yeah, clearly there's no love lost between Speaker Pelosi and Mark Zuckerberg. Look, they say that their staffs have been in communication. It's just that the two of them haven't talked. But clearly this is a problem. This is something that she and others have called Facebook out on for not pulling down something that is clearly fake. Normally, Facebook says, well, we want to put all the information out there and let the users decide. There's really nothing to decide here. This was something that was doctored and passed along for a while as real. And so it shows one of those major sticking points as Facebook, who does not want increased regulation, tries to fend against calls for them to have that extra oversight.
Yeah. All right. Well, senior news correspondent from WBUR, Kimberly Atkins, thanks so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering, and this is Radio Boston.